Scripture is going to be read to us this morning by Nick Nicholas, St. Nicholas, and he said he's all ready. So I don't know if he meant he was ready to read the Scripture, if he's ready to preach the sermon too. Yep.
What an absolute privilege it is for me to be able to see, to be able to read, and to be able to hear what God has to say for us through his word. In Acts 21, verse 1, God says this: after we had torn ourselves away from them, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Kos. The next day, we went to Rhodes and from there to Patara. We found a ship crossing over to Phoenicia. We went on board and set sail. After sighting Cyprus and passing to the south of it, we sailed on to Syria. We landed at Tyre, where a ship was to unload its cargo. We sought out the disciples there and stayed with them for 7 days. Through the Spirit, they urged Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. When it was time to leave, we left and continued on our way. All of them, including wives and children, accompanied us out of the city, and there on the beach, we knelt to pray. After saying goodbye to each other, we went aboard the ship, and they returned home. We continued our voyage from Tyre and landed at Ptolemais, where we greeted the brothers and sisters and stayed with them for a day. And leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip the Evangelist, one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. After we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, "The Holy Spirit says in this way, the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and we'll hand him over to the Gentiles." And when we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go to Jerusalem. And Paul answered, "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, "The Lord's will be done." After this, we started on our way to Jerusalem. Some of the disciples from Caesarea accompanied us and brought us to the home of Mnason, where we were to stay. He was a man from Cyprus and one of the early disciples. And when we arrived at Jerusalem, the brothers and sisters received us warmly. The next day, Paul and the rest of us went to see James, and all the elders were present. Paul greeted them and reported in detail what God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. When they heard this, they praised God. Then they said to Paul, "You see, brother, how many thousands of Jews have believed, and all of them are zealous for the law. They have been informed that you teach all the Jews who live among the Gentiles to turn away from Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or to live according to our customs. What shall we do? They will certainly hear that you have come, so do what we tell you." There are four men with us who have made a vow. "Take these men, join in the purification rites, and pay their expenses so that they can have their head shaved. Then everyone will know there's no truth in these reports about you, but that you yourself are living in obedience to the law. As for the Gentile believers, we have written to them our decision that you should abstain from food sacrificed to idols and blood from the meat of strangled animals and from sexual immorality. The next day, Paul took the man and purified himself along with him. Then he went to the temple to give notice of the date when the days of purification would end and the offerings would be made for each of them.
Thank you, Nick. Well done. And the Lord always adds his blessing to the reading of his word. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. We thank you, Lord, through your word that is ever living and ever powerful, that you'd speak to our hearts this morning and encourage us by your truth and equip us, Lord, to better live for you through Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen. There are certain things that have staying power, that have the ability to endure, such as this. Everybody remember one of these? An Etch-a-Sketch, you probably played with them when you were a kid. How many of those have you played with one of those? Look at that, all the hands. Yeah, the enduring Etch-a-Sketch continues to endure as staying power. Or the game of Monopoly. You're all shaking your head. Yes, it's a classic and continues to endure. It has staying power throughout the generations. And generation after generation continues to play and love the game of Monopoly. My nephew, when he was younger, like to play it, and Eli loves to play Monopoly, no matter what the generations. And of course, this has staying power. Hershey chocolate. Everybody got yes. I mean, Hershey chocolate has staying power. It endures through the ages, it endures through time. In fact, Milton Hershey used to say that Hershey chocolate was depression proof, that even through the times of depression, people could still afford to buy themselves a Hershey chocolate for a little bit of special treat. Heinz ketchup, where I came from in Pittsburgh, is staying power. To me, there's no other ketchup other than Heinz, right, Bob? That's the true ketchup, and it has staying power to endure throughout the years and throughout the generations. And for Kim, I put this one in, Bazooka Bubblegum, has staying power because ever since she was a kid, she always got Bazooka Bubblegum in her stocking, and still to this day, at Christmas, I have to make sure she gets Bazooka Bubblegum in her stocking. And you know, it's getting harder to find, but you can still find it. But it does have that staying power, the ability to continue and endure. And then, of course, there's people that have staying power, Sandy. Like Elvis continues to be and endure, and the king lives and continues his music, continues throughout the generations. And Dolly Parton continues to have staying power throughout the generations from time to time. And those are all things and different people that have staying power, but some of the greatest, of course, is the hymns of the church. And the hymns of the church have staying power that throughout his generations time and go. The classics, Great Is Thy Faithfulness, many of the hymns that we sing have endured through the years because of the great theology and the teaching that are rich in those hymns. How about it, Ralph? They're full and they have staying power to endure throughout the generations. And of course, the Word of God is the greatest of staying power. That it, no matter what people have tried to do to destroy the Word of God, His word remains. In fact, Jesus said, when the scripture says, the grass withers and the flowers flee, but the word of our God stands and endures forever. You talk about staying power. We have the word of God and you have Jesus, our Savior, who continues to endure. The scripture says, beginning is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. So those are all things that endure and have staying power. But you know, you and I as well can have staying power, the ability to continue to endure. Last week we had seen about the need of encouragement and perseverance. And I would say that the Apostle Paul, and in this scripture that was read for us by Nick, the Apostle Paul demonstrated staying power, deep and strong staying power. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, staying power was defined, that word is defined by Merriam-Webster as the ability to last or endure, the capacity for continuing without weakening. That's what staying power is, the ability to continue to endure, to persevere without weakening. The Apostle Paul demonstrates that very well in this chapter that Nick read for us in chapter 21. We had seen that in Ephesus he had said goodbye to the leaders there and how they wept because Paul knew he was not going to see them again, and how he encouraged them. And if we had seen it as the chapter opened up, when they finally broke away from each other, when they were torn apart because they shared that emotion and love for each other so deeply, Paul was on his way to Jerusalem, knowing that hearing that wherever he went, he was being told by the Spirit of God and others that persecution, suffering was going to be facing him when he got to the city of Jerusalem. And he knew that, but yet he was determined he was going to go to Jerusalem because he was delivering the offering that was received by the Gentile believers there, the Gentile churches, that he was going to hand deliver to the Jewish believers in Jerusalem, and he was intent on arriving at Jerusalem no matter what, and he was not going to be detained, even though he knew suffering was ahead, and he was not going to weaken in his resolve. He was going to continue to serve him. And so he was ability to continue to stay. Now we want to do a little bit of Bible study before we get into this morning. And as you're reading the scripture, and just a little bit of teaching here, as you're reading the scripture on your own, and you come to a portion, you're opening up and saying, what does God have to say to me through this portion of the Word of God? And it works here in Acts. When I look for a key word, a word that maybe the Lord repeats several times in a particular portion and verses, and if the Lord says that verse several times, it's kind of important in what he's trying to say. With your Bibles open, everybody looking at Acts chapter 21, do you see a word that is repeated several times in verses 1 through 16, the portion that we're looking at this morning? Do you see a word that's repeated several times? I highlighted it in green in my Bible. Prophesy, heard that one. The word that I see and focused in on this morning is the word stayed. Do you see the word stayed in verse 4, verse 7, verse 8, and verse 16? You see that word stay mentioned four times. That Paul went and stayed with the disciples 7 days. And then he went and stayed with the disciples in Caesarea. Then he went and stayed with Philip. Then he went and stayed with Manon, with a Mason. And that word stay is the word we want to focus in this morning. A staying power and the ability to stay, and we're going to come back to what that word means in a minute. But as Christ and the disciples of Christ, we have staying power, and we demonstrate that staying power and ability to continue to go on without weakening and without continuing to press forward through several ways. And we're going to see it demonstrated in the life of Paul this morning. First, disciples stay connected. And we see that through Paul. Everywhere he went, he would stay with believers, other disciples in Christ. And disciples stay connected, first of all, to Jesus. That word stayed that I have there, that I highlighted, is the exact same word that Jesus uses in John chapter 15. We're going to go there in a minute. The word stayed is the Greek word meno. Have you heard of Mennonites? Okay, men of Simons, that word is stayed, and it means to abide, to remain, or to dwell. That's what that word means, and it's mentioned four times there, that Paul stayed, abide, remain, or dwelled in a particular place. And it's the same word that Jesus uses in John chapter 15. So I want everybody to turn there. We're going to go to John chapter 15 and see this word, stay, or abide, how important it is in our connection, because disciples stay connected. As Paul was connected here to the believers. Jesus used the word four times alone in verse 4, as we'll see as we read that. And he uses the word a total of 11 times in the first 10 verses. In John 15, if you're there, Jesus says, "I am the vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Or every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it will be even more faithful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." Here's the word, stayed or remain or abide. He says, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, for it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains or abides in me or dwells with me, I with him. And he will bear much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers, and such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, see the connection here, you can ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as my Father obeyed my commands and remain in his love. That's the same word that is mentioned here in Acts chapter 21, for stayed. That remaining and abiding, and disciples stay connected first to Jesus. Because through our connection to him, remaining and abiding in Christ, we find that life. And Jesus said, he is the vine and we are the branches, and we abide and we stay connected to him because he is our source of life. And these flowers up here are artificial. But if you take beautiful flowers and you cut them off of the vine or off of the stem, and you cut them and you put them and make a beautiful arrangement, and Barb was really good with doing that. And they'll look beautiful for a while. And fresh cut flowers in an arrangement look so nice, but what happens after several days when they're not connected to the stem anymore? They begin to wither because they're not connected to the life source. And we can go for a time in our life spiritually where we don't stay connected to Jesus through his word, through prayer, through that vital relationship with him, abiding and remaining with him and in him. We can go for a while, and from the outside it might look like everything's okay, but after a while, spiritually, we're going to get withered up. We're going to wither up because we're not connected. We're not remaining in him to have that vital source of life. So disciples stay connected. Paul stayed, first staying connected to Jesus, our source of life, but also staying connected to each other. Notice as we go back to Acts chapter 21 that it said Paul stayed in several homes along the way. He knew what he was headed to. He knew he was going to Jerusalem, and he knew on the way there that when he arrived at Jerusalem, hardship was going to be facing him. Suffering was ahead. He was told that. And it even says there when he stayed for the 7 days in verse 4, find the disciples, we stayed there. And through the Spirit, he was told, urged not to go to Jerusalem. And he knew that, but yet he found strength in staying or abiding and connecting with the disciples because they were that source of support to him. It said they prayed with him. They encouraged him along the journey. They hosted him, and they found great support in that. As disciples in Christ, we stay connected to Jesus, but we also stay connected to one another. Because through one another, we find that encouragement and that strength we need. And aren't you thankful you're part of the family of God? That we have that connection with each other? God never intended for us to live life independently on our own. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, before anything else was created, they always lived and existed in eternity past. And before God created anything else, they were in perfect fellowship and harmony with each other. Showing that relationship and that connection is vital. And then whenever God created all that there is, and he said that everything was good when he created the world, except there was one thing that wasn't good in God's original creation. You remember what that was? He said, it's not good for man to what? Be alone. Because God had created us for connections with each other. And we need that support. And Paul needed that as he was traveling to Jerusalem, knowing suffering was ahead. He found the disciples and connected along the way and stayed with them. He didn't find the encouragement and support he needed in his travels. So disciples, stay connected to God, to Christ. How vital, how strong is that connection daily, continuing to abide and remain in him and connected to one another as we journey and do life together, but also connected through prayer. Notice what it says here in verse 5, that all the disciples and the wives and children accompanied us out of the city, and there on the beach we knelt to pray. And they prayed with and for one another and encouraged each other along the way. In Romans chapter 12, it says that Paul says to be devoted to one another with brotherly affection. And in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, we read that Jesus would often withdraw by himself to pray. And Luke records that before Jesus had chosen his 12 apostles, he went off by himself and he prayed. And in Luke chapter 9, we read this morning that Jesus often would withdraw and pray. And if Jesus needed times to get alone and communicate and to pray with the Father, how much more do we? Because Jesus knew that connection was so vital in prayer. Because in that time of prayer, we share our heart with God. We sit and listen to him as he speaks to us. And that connection grows more deep and more intimate because it's our time of personal sharing with him. And that's what prayer is. It's basically you just talking to God. You just sharing your heart with him and pouring out how you feel. So how is your connection this morning? Disciples, stay connected to Christ, to each other, and to prayer. That's one way we demonstrate staying power. The second way we demonstrate staying power is disciples stay committed. That no matter what we face, no matter what's ahead, we remain committed to Christ. Notice how Paul demonstrated that staying power in verse 10 through 12. Well, 10 through 14. And as Paul was staying at the home of Philip, the evangelist, one of the men, one of the seven there it's referring to is back to the seven deacons. They're originally chosen, if you remember that back when the original deacons were chosen, whenever over the distribution of food because the church was growing. We had seen that so long ago. And Stephen was one of those chosen. Stephen became the first martyr. But Philip, this Philip, was the one who led the Ethiopian eunuch to Christ, the one who took the gospel to Samaria, and now he's preaching and taking the gospel to Caesarea. Caesarea was the hometown of Cornelius. We had seen that town before. But he's staying in Caesarea's home, and a prophet comes down and takes Paul's belt, wraps it around him, binds his hands with it, and says, the owner of this belt is going to be bound in the same way when he arrives at Jerusalem by the Jews, bringing the word of God. Luke says, when we heard that, we tried to forbid Paul and persuade him, Paul, don't go. Don't go to Jerusalem. Hardship's going to wait you there. You're going to be, you hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Don't go. And what did Paul say in verse 13? Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you say that's staying power? The ability to continue to go on without weakening, to continue to endure and go forward. And that's what he did. And he said, because he was committed, being fully resolved to follow the Lord at all cost. And that's what Paul was. He knew that suffering awaited him there. He knew that hardship was ahead. But Paul was resolved to go to Jerusalem even though he knew suffering was going to be facing him there. Does that sound like somebody else? Let's go to Luke chapter 14. Well, actually, Mark chapter 10. I want you to go to Mark chapter 10 first. In Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 32, Mark recording about Jesus said they were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. And the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. And again, he took the 12 aside and he told them what was going to happen to them. He said, "We are going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit upon him, flog him, and kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise." But Mark says Jesus was determined and had his heart set and resolute to go to Jerusalem, even though it meant the cross. Why? Because he loved you and me so much. And he was willing to pay the price. And that Paul had that same commitment, that same resolution to Jesus, willing to go to Jerusalem, even though he knew suffering was ahead. He said, "If it means I die for Jesus there, may glory be to him, but I am resolved to follow him no matter the cost." In Luke chapter 14, Jesus said this. He said, "Large crowds were traveling with Jesus and turning to him, and he said, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father or mother, his wife or his children, or his brothers or sisters, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. For anyone who does not carry his cross cannot follow, and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone will see it and ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first consider what he was able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other one is still a long way off and ask for terms of peace. In the same way, if any of you does not give up everything he has, he cannot be my disciple." Jesus there was talking about counting the cost. And he said to realize when we are going to become a disciple of Jesus, we have to count the cost. Realize it's going to cost us something. We have to surrender ourselves and lay it down for him. So disciples stay committed no matter what. We fully resolve to follow him at all cost. Paul demonstrated that. And also being fully surrendered to submit to his will and not our own. Notice what Luke said. Whenever Paul said, "I'm ready not only to be bound, but to die in Jerusalem for the name of Jesus, if so be." And Luke says, when we could not be dissuaded, when he could not be dissuaded, we gave up and we said, "Okay, God's will be done." Because he saw the commitment in Paul's life, and Paul was committed to obey the Lord's will, and he's fully surrendered to the Lord's will and not his own. And whatever that meant for Paul, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane demonstrated that same thing. When he went to the garden and he prayed, "Father, if there's another way that salvation could come, that I don't have to go to the cross, that I don't have to go through this suffering, let it be." But he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Disciples of Christ stay committed to Jesus, fully surrendered to submit to his will and not our own. Whatever his will for us is that he's revealed in the scripture as his Holy Spirit leads us to say, "Lord, your will be done. Not my way, but your way." That's staying power, staying connected and staying committed. So Tony Miranda, in his book, Christ-Centered Exposition in Acts, shares three practical applications that he takes from this passage that we can apply to our life. And the first one is, he says, love people, but love Jesus more. And Paul loved the people, the disciples, and he would stay at their house, and they gathered together, and it said they wept, and they prayed together, and they were torn apart at Ephesus because they knew they weren't going to see each other again, and they deeply cared for one another. And Paul loved the church. But yet, even though they loved him and said, "Paul, don't go to Jerusalem because you're going to have suffering there. Don't go." Paul loved Jesus more, and he said, "But I love you. But I have to do what Jesus is leading me to do." Second, value input, but follow God's will. As the church related to him, Paul's sufferings ahead, Paul knew that, and he took what they had to say, but yet he surrendered himself to God's will and put that first. And the last thing we can apply is following Jesus is costly, but not following Jesus is even more costly in our life and giving everything to him. The Apostle Paul had staying power. And as disciples of Christ today, the Holy Spirit gives us that same staying power, the ability to abide and to remain with Christ and in Christ. Staying committed to him and staying connected to him. So Jesus calls us to abide in him, to abide with him. Keep that connection to God and one another strong through prayer. And keep that commitment. Are you able, Christ asked us, to be crucified with me? When Jesus asked his disciples, James and John, that, they said, yes, we are able. And Jesus said, you don't know what you're saying at that point. They didn't fully understand. But eventually they would understand what that commitment meant. But the staying power of being connected and of being committed. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its practical teaching, for the life of the Apostle Paul, Lord, that illustrates so beautifully a man who stayed strong and had staying power through the power of your Spirit at work in and through him, because he had a vital and strong connection to you. He had a vital and strong connection to his brothers and sisters in Christ. And he had a vital, strong connection through prayer. So, Lord, remind us and help us to keep those connections strong. Because without you, we can do nothing. But if we abide in you and your word abides in us, we find strength and we are fruitful and we are productive. And we grow and flourish for you. And, Lord, help us to be connected and can be committed, even though it may mean suffering, even though it may mean hardship, because we are resolved to follow you at all cost. And Lord, to be fully surrendered to your will and not ours, that what you have for us and what you will be, our prayer be, your will be done. And we just simply yield to you. That's not easy to say, but Lord, that's what you call us to do. The life of a disciple is a life of picking up that cross daily and following after you. So Lord, help us to be your disciples and to continue to grow and walk that path of discipleship with you, our Savior, each day. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.